We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. I'm Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A big show this afternoon, as we will have men's basketball, women's basketball, and also talk a little women's water polo with, quite frankly, one of the best water polo players in the world, Dora Alton will be with us, and she'll talk about the Cal team opening up this season at Hawaii and the expectations they have. We're going to start with men's basketball. Juwan Harris-Dyson with us now, the freshman from Southern California, Heritage Christian High School. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. I'm going to start, first of all, with the number 10, meaning 10 points. You've had 10 points in like five different games for your career high. At the end of the game against Washington State, we had you for 12. So we say, well, he's got a new career high, but they gave two of your points to, I think, Justice Suing got the, or maybe it was Darius McNeil got the extra two. But anyway, just talk about this year. You started off kind of sick, ill. I don't know how a guy that's as slender as you can possibly lose 20 pounds, but that's what they said you did. I mean, tell us what happened, how long it took you to kind of get back to full strength.
I was only really sick for like a week and a half, but that week and a half I wasn't really eating much. It was just in bed, but I was just trying to be out there and support my team because I love those guys. Love seeing them succeed and be on the court. But it really is just a process, just having to get in extra reps in the weight room, just having protein shakes with every meal. I still have cartons of protein shakes at home. It's crazy. It takes up about half my fridge. But slowly coming back. I'm just starting to just feel my body get back to normal, and it's just getting more confidence, just little stuff like that, and teammates just believing in me.
I mean, do you feel 100%, close to 100% now?
Yeah, almost there. I'm almost there. Probably like still like 90, 95, because I still got couple more pounds to get back and just get back in shape, because it's kind of hard. I mean, I do like running on my own. Coach Jack would do running after we lift, so he's really taking the time with me to really like just get my body back to where it was before.
All right, let's go back to your high school years and go back to a friendship you developed with one of your current teammates, Deshaun Winston. You guys played with each other, I believe, in ninth grade, and then lo and behold, you end up being teammates here. Just tell us about that friendship that developed a couple of years ago.
Oh, man, me and Deshaun, we just clicked from, like, the day of tryouts. I mean, we were at school freshman, sophomore year, just hanging out together with our teammates. And we both went our separate ways our junior year, but we still stayed in contact. We live probably, like, 20 minutes mm-hmm. from each other, so I saw him a lot. And finally got to play against him in AAU when I played with Earl Watson, and we got the best of him that game. We blew him out by 30, just saying that.
But in the high school game, right? What happened there?
In the high school game, we had a pretty fun game. It was high scoring, a lot of baskets, but they got the best of us. They beat us 110 to 105.
It was a game in which he had 43 points, I believe, and that was really the game that kind of put him on Cal's radar, the fact that he had had a big scoring game and the Bears were looking for an additional guard at that point in time. So I guess in more ways than one, you helped him get here to Cal. One was the friendship, two, the game that he had against you, right?
Yeah, that was probably a big part, but also it's just his character. He's a great guy. He's a good student, so it's just an all-around fit for him.
All right, you committed to Cal when Konzo Martin was the head coach, Tracy Webster, one of the assistants, they were on you big time. And then there's a coaching change that takes place. Things get, murky a little bit. Why did you decide that you wanted to stay with your Cal commitment?
The reason I just wanted to stay is because on my visit, I didn't really have much conversation with White King before mm-hmm. that. But on my visit, he just seemed like a really great guy. He made me feel like I was at home, and that's what I was looking for. So I feel like that I could trust him, and that he'll lead me and show me in the right way on and off the court and being a man. And the staff that he got, I looked them up, like did a little research on them. So I was felt comfortable coming here and staying here.
Well, we're glad you did, and you're starting to turn into a really productive player. Go back to it. Let's just talk academics just briefly before we get into the season. The first term for any freshman can be challenging. Add to the fact that you're a student athlete, which means you got to spend a lot of time with basketball in addition to academics. Then you throw in the fact that this is Cal. I mean, this isn't a school where you just walk up and you get a grade. But what was that first term like for you?
It had its highs and its lows. I mean, I had days where I was sitting in this office 3-4 hours just doing work, like typing essays, just studying for quizzes that I had a week in a week. But I mean, overall, I had a great help, like provided tutors. Coach Oaks was just always in here. No matter how late it was, he would stay till 6-7 o'clock if we needed it. So the support system was really great.
All right. This week, you start the first week of the second term. Tell us about your class load this week.
My class load's not too heavy. I have 4 classes, but I'm probably only going to take 3. I'm still deciding because one of our classes, I'll miss a test. So I'm going to that class and I have to talk to the professor. But yeah, I'm taking right now for sure. I have college writing and a public speaking class. So yeah, I have that college writing Tuesdays and Thursdays. Public speaking is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then the other two are UGBA 10, which is a business class. It's an intro to business class. So I'm deciding if I want to go towards business or media studies, something like that. And then the fourth class that I have, if I don't take UGBA 10, is sociology 169C, which is like, it's kind of like you have to put yourself in an area that you would not normally be in. Like, so you have to find a group that you would not normally associate with and kind of like just get a feel for that group. And then, like, you write an essay about it. That's pretty much the class. And you just learn about different types of cultures and stuff like that. So,
well, you mentioned public speaking. One of the great orators of all time, of course, was Martin Luther King. This last week was his birthday that was celebrated. Just your thoughts about the Martin Luther King, the holiday, and what he has meant, not only to you, but the entire country.
Oh, he means a lot to this country. I mean, he brought about a lot of change with his dreams that he had, because he had a dream, and then to see that come to fruition later in years is a great thing.
You know, it's most people don't know this, but you might be interested in the fact that there was a coach at both USC and Washington State by the name of George Raveling. And George Raveling was a young man at the time that Martin Luther King was becoming such a powerful influence in this country. And so after he made the dream speech, he gave that speech to George Raveling, who was the coach at USC for a while in Washington State as well. So George Raveling has the actual speech in his possession. So that is a very, very powerful, memorable speech. And George, one of the interesting guys in college basketball, to say the least. All right, let's talk about your performance so far this year. As you mentioned, you're ill to start the season. You're trying to get into the flow of things. Coach Y. King Jones has mentioned in the 2-2-1 full court press that you're probably the best second line defender. So not the first line, but the second line. And we've seen that because you've had your hands on the ball a lot. You had 5 steals the other night in the game. What is it about that second line that you like, and why is it that you're so good at that position?
The second line, I just love it because you get to anticipate. It's kind of like a game. Yeah. So what I like to do is just, I like to make the ball handler not really know what I'm going to do. So I might go to one side, but I want you to throw it that way because I already know I'm going to go that way. So it's kind of a mind game, really. You just got to watch their eyes, and it's just a fun spot to play.
Yeah, the team has been much better stealing the basketball since you become healthy and been in that spot too. So it's a mind game a little bit with you, right? It's almost like a defensive back baiting a quarterback to throw the ball knowing where he's going to be.
Exactly. That's pinpoint.
Yeah. All right. Let's also talk about, from a social standpoint here at California, you got a lot of new people that you got to meet. It's a huge campus. It's not a high school campus. There's a lot of things going on. How has that gone for you?
It's been great. I mean, everybody's really welcoming. You just go around campus, people smile. It's a really friendly place. You know, if I'm wearing a basketball shirt, sometimes I'm not even wearing a basketball shirt. People will just come up and say, hi, you're standing in line. You meet new friends. I mean, I've made friends just walking down the street. Like, they'll be like, hey, I'll be like, oh, what's up? And then just have a conversation, go sit down and get something to eat. So there's a lot of nice people here.
Who are you rooming with?
I'm rooming with Deshaun.
Oh, perfect. So that both of you can help each other in that regard. This week, the Bears faced the 2 Arizona schools, who are the only teams in the conference that are currently ranked in the top 25. Arizona is first. At least one of the players on that team you're pretty familiar with, Ira Lee, who the Bears looked at and tried to recruit, went to Arizona. You guys played on the Watson Elite team. Tell us about the friendship you guys had and what kind of a player we can expect.
The friendship between me and Ira, it was just growing over the summer. We were roommates on 2 out of our 4 trips. I mean, he's just a great kid all around. He's a fun person to be around. Very funny, very goofy. He just loves to be himself. And the player you can expect from him is very explosive, a big body person. He's a highlight player, but we're going to try and limit him to no highlights. So I got to make sure of that. So, yeah.
Arizona and then Arizona State is the second game. They have a kind of a veteran team, but anybody that you, let's just talk about the conference in general. Who are the players that you're most familiar with from either high school or the AAU circuit?
Most players that I'm familiar with is, I know Ira, we played AAU. Obviously we just talked about that. I know Remy, me and Remy, I played
from
with
Arizona
him.
State.
Yeah. From Arizona State. We played together. Whew. I think 12, 13, 14, and then I went to middle school together, Sierra Canyon. And then, I've just played against him the last year, my last year of high school. So, yeah, he's a good guy.
All right, next week you get to go back home, a paid trip back home, I guess, because it'll be UCLA followed by USC. What kind of a fan reaction, family, you know, gathering will we have in your support for those games?
I'm expecting just a lot of people to show up. You know, people have been texting me, like, when you coming back out here, when you playing out here, I really want to come. So, you know, people have just been really supportive, and I really appreciate that. Like, my high school coaches are coming. My family will for sure be there. They make a lot of games. They make the trip up here twice a week, actually, to come watch me play up here. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
All right, you get a chance to play in Pauley Pavilion. It's literally the house that John Wooden built in the 60s. They had an old gym that I don't even know if it still exists down there. I used to play some rat ball in there. But you won the John R. Wooden Award, emblematic of the best player, in your case, the Southern Section Division II. Tell us what you know about John Wooden, because that's a very prestigious honor for basketball players in California.
Yeah, I know that John Wooden is probably one of the best college coaches that there is. I've gotten books by John Wooden, so I really my mom just really like tried to like instill that in me. So when I won the award, it was just like an amazing honor. It was just great.
I think Chimezie Metu of USC might have won it 2 years before you did, the Southern Section Division II. So obviously you have to be a really good player to win that. What do you remember about the pyramid of success for Coach Wooden?
Ooh, it's been a minute since I read those books, but put me on the spot.
That's okay. Anyway, we know you read it. Interesting side bit again. I believe that Pete Newell, who was the coach at Cal, and John Wooden faced off against each other, Cal versus UCLA, I think it was 17 times. And John Wooden, I believe, when the two matched up at the respective schools, won the first eight, and Pete Newell won the last nine. So he had the upper hand. Of course, Pete Newell was one of the all-time great coaches as well, coached the Olympic team. So an opportunity, to kind of put the two schools together to battle against each other. And in your case, having won the award, but representing Cal as a basketball player, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I didn't even know that fact existed. So, you learn something new every day.
There you go. Cal's all about learning something new. Hey, Juwan, we appreciate you taking the time. Stay healthy. If you have a couple of those power shakes you need to get rid of, I'd be glad to have a couple. But that'll reduce the inventory in your home. Stay healthy. That's the big thing. And good luck the rest of the way.
I appreciate it. Go Bears.
All right. Juwan Harris-Dyson, outstanding freshman from Southern California. As the Bears host the Arizona schools this week, and then it's down to Southern California against UCLA and a Sunday afternoon game at the Galen Center against USC. When we come back, we'll talk women's basketball. They'll be in Southern California this week. Assistant coach Kai Felton will join us. The Bears coming off two wins over the Washington schools as we continue on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Joining us now, talk a little women's hoops, is Kai Felton, who's the assistant coach. And I walk into the office today, and there are some unique deliveries here compared to maybe other basketball offices around the country, looking at diapers and some other things. But you and Lindsay, within a month of each other, I guess, yeah, both enjoyed welcoming new children to the world. Just to tell us what that's been like for you and for your partner, as well as you are now full throttle into the basketball season.
Yeah, it's been great. They always say that a little one will change your life, and that certainly has happened for, I think, myself, Lindsay, and this women's basketball program, which has been a lot of fun. In terms of like motherhood and coaching, I tease that coaching kind of prepared me for the lack of sleep to becoming a mother. But then I actually then continue to add that I'm even getting less sleep. And so it's been interesting. I'm pretty high energy, so thankful for that in terms of being able to go. But I'll reach at a point, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to bed at 8 because I know I'm going to be up every 3 hours tonight. And I feel like, my tank's on empty. But that only happens every couple weeks. A lot of my friends in the coaching business have been like, how are you adapting? What does your routine look like? And that's actually interesting too, because that's changed a lot. Whereas in the past, I'd watch a lot of my film at nighttime. And now, it's like you get home and it's like you have this routine. It's like, hey, we're home. We got to cook dinner. And then we got to give him a bath. And then we got to read Weston a book. And then I got to put him to sleep. And so there's all these things that kind of go into it. And then eventually I'll have maybe an hour of film to watch. And then I'm like, I got to go to bed because I'm going to be up again, every 3 hours. Lindsay's very blessed. Jordan sleeps kind of through the night. Exactly. She's very lucky. I, on the other hand, not as lucky, but it's fine. You deal with what you're given. And so my new routine, we have an au pair and she's fantastic, is actually, and Weston wakes up early. So he goes with her from 7 to 9 a.m. And that's when I just lock myself in our home office and I just watch film. And it's been great because it's just uninterrupted. It's time where I can really, focus in. And so that's probably been one of the bigger routine changes for me.
Well, how do Weston and Jordan get along? Because obviously they must see each other a lot.
Yeah, great. I mean, it's hilarious. And, in the beginning we would put them next to each other and they would have no concept that they were next to another baby, obviously. And now it's like, oh, I know you. And then they'll kind of scream at each other. And, literally before you walked in, Jordan is mobile, Weston, mm-hmm, not quite, which I'm happy about. Yes. Jordan likes to crawl into my office just because it's different than his mom's. And there are different toys in there. And, so he picked up a toy and was like eating it. And then Lindsay's like, now Kai's going to need to disinfect that. And I can see Weston being like, wait a minute, that's mine. I don't understand. So I give him a different toy, but then Jordan wants that toy. And Weston's like, and I'm like, okay, you guys, you know, sharing is caring. We got to share things. So it's great. Like they have fun with each other. It's really cute.
Yeah. And we've talked to a number of the players in the podcast that, I mean, they just think it's the greatest thing in the world to experience this, you know, during that period of their lives as well. So congratulations to both of you. I guess Weston's more of the talker. Yeah. He's an early talker.
Early talker. Yeah. I mean, like 5 weeks, he was like kind of babbling and saying things. And we kind of tease now that like he talks less and he's like just screams out of excitement more. And we're like, wait, what happened to the babbling? So, you know, they kind of go through their phrases.
Yeah. There's plenty of phases that you'll be enjoying or going through, let's put it that way, over the course of time. But absolutely. Congratulations. All right. Let's talk about yourself.
Yeah.
Because as we were talking before, you're from the West Coast. Then you went back east to go to school. Now you're back here on the West Coast as an assistant. First of all, you had a great college career. You know, one of the great players in the history of, it's now called Randolph College. It used to be Randolph-Macon, I think. Yep, is that correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then came back to the West Coast. How long did it take for you to figure out that eventually you wanted to come back to the West Coast?
Not very long, to be honest. I mean, and you know, I'm the only one of the, I have a brother and sister. My brother went to undergrad in at Vassar and Poughkeepsie. Mm-hmm. And then I went into Virginia at Randolph-Macon Women's College. And then I went up to Springfield College. And I just was like, you know, like, I knew I was going to come back to the West Coast. So it's like, why not do the whole, like, you know, Virginia, Southern kind of ish area, and then kind of the New England ish area.
Sure.
And just to get culturally, you know, different things, different people, kind of branch out, that type of thing. But I kind of knew when I was done, I was like, I gotta head back to where it's not snowing and where, to me, there's a little bit more diversity, you know, more open-minded people. These are my opinions and things that I felt like I learned. So yeah, the West Coast is more for me.
All right. So out here, you've been an assistant of both Oregon. Was Paul Westhead the head coach at the time?
Yes.
Well, he was. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting style of play. Obviously, yes. Score as fast as you can. Mark Trak, who was at USC when you were there, then he left. Now he's back at USC.
Yep.
Tell us what you gleaned from those two guys.
Yeah. I mean, I've been so fortunate. I mean, all the head coaches I've worked for have been fantastic. Mark was great, especially for me when I was like young, a very fiery personality. And you know, he was more like, Kai, when you coach, there's a gray area. And I was like, no, there's not. There's right and wrong. And there's black and white. And I was very much kind of like, you know, like this is the way. And he's like, but that's, you know, not like life. Like life is going to throw you curveballs. And it was great because he had said, you know, you want to treat them fairly, but you don't necessarily treat each player equally because each of them are so individualized, you know. And I think I was able to really take away from him a lot of things in terms of like understanding personalities and how to, you know, work with different players to make sure that they excel and that kind of thing. And then he's, of course, great from an X's and O's standpoint and just a great mentor. Even today, you know, great friend of mine, talked to him about different things, life, you know, we talked prior to him taking the job and, you know, like we just, you know, throw, I think, ideas off one another, which is great.
All right. You're here at Cal, I think 5 seasons now. And this week you head to 7 years now.
7.
Wow. Time does fly.
Yeah.
Now you head down to, you got a kind of a relatively quick rematch with the Southern California
yeah.
schools,
mm-hmm.
UCLA and USC. First time around, you led most of the way against USC, pulled that one out. That was the conference opener.
Yep.
And then the next night, UCLA, they were coming off a loss to Stanford. Stanford had struggled a little bit in the non-conference, and I don't know the mindset of UCLA, but Stanford shocked them.
Yeah.
And they came out that game against over here, they got two of the best players in this league, two of the best players in college basketball
mm-hmm.
with Canada and Billings. And man, they played up to their capabilities. What do you have to do to turn the tide when you face the Bruins?
Yeah, you know, I think what UCLA did a great job against us at home was really applying defensive pressure. And, you know, Keanu's a freshman point guard, and, you know, you have Jordan Canada, who's one of the best, you know, players in the country, on you the whole length of the court. And that's hard. Like now you got to, I want to take care of the ball, but I need to run the offense. The wings are being denied, you know? And so this week, a lot of prep is like how to shake your defense, how to handle the physicality of it, how to do a better job getting open on the wings. What are the different looks that we're looking for, you know, against the pressure? So I think that we'll be a lot more prepared this time around for that. And I think that our freshmen are going to now be more veteran to that pressure.
And then for whatever the reason, it seems like year after year, the two best series that Cal has as far as being competitive are Arizona State and USC. USC has been that way for like seemingly forever. Obviously, being to California schools, you can see the tie-in there.
Yeah.
But USC, you just know when you go down to the Galen Center, no matter how both teams play, it's going to end up being like a two-possession game, maybe a one-possession game.
Yeah, it's always competitive. I mean, SC, you know, they're always going to get great players. Mm-hmm. And our players always tend to know their players, yeah. which makes things, you know, more competitive and more interesting. And so, and a lot of them are actually quite friendly. They're mm-hmm. friends with one another. So it's, when you step on the court, it just there's a lot more meaning and passion behind it. But yeah, it'll always be a good game. We always have to create our own energy at the Galen Center because, you know, there are not as many going to be fans there. But we tend to be pretty good in pulling our own crowd, I will mm-hmm. say, so which will be nice. But yeah, I think the mindset is to go down there and let's put up a fight and a battle. And, you know, we got UCLA first and, you know, it's like run it back. You know, mm-hmm. we owe them one after our home game up here.
Yeah, we don't call it a crowd at the Galen Center. It's more like a gathering. Players introduce themselves individually to the people in the seats, I think, more than anything else. you've been around the league now for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So you've seen this league really improve.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a lot different these last couple of years than it was 10 years ago.
No, absolutely.
Why do you think that's happened?
I think coaching, to be honest. I mean, we went from 10 to 12 schools, and I think that, athletic directors hired coaches that were really committed to the women's game. And as you know, like coaches who can recruit, if you can recruit and bring in great players, you're going to have a much better team. And with that, I think it's you see it on the floor because everything's more competitive. And then another thing that everyone really made an effort to do is to make sure that we scheduled more competitively in the non-conference. Mm-hmm. And because of that, our strength of schedule makes us better. And those non-conference games makes us stronger, which then for Pac-12 play, everything's just, you know, even better and more competitive. And so I think those are two of the major changes, you know, great coaches bringing in really good recruiting classes and then preseason schedules that prepare us for great conference play.
Well, last year, two teams in the Final Four, Oregon State and Washington, highly competitive. If it wasn't for UConn and South Carolina, obviously, is really good as well.
Yep.
But this conference is on the rise and it's fun to watch the development of women's basketball here on the West Coast. Kai, we appreciate you stopping by. Good luck this week. Get some sleep, get two wins, and it'd be a perfect week, wouldn't it?
Thanks for having me. Yes, go Bears.
All right, Kai Felton, assistant coach for the women's basketball team on the road against UCLA and USC this week. When we come back, we'll talk a little women's water polo with one of the best players, not only at Cal or in the NCAA, but one of the best players in the world. She's always been involved with the water polo since the age of 3, maybe 5, I guess it was. We'll talk women's water polo as we continue on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Time to talk a little women's water polo here, a team with high expectations this year, and justifiably so. It's a team that has a lot of experience, and no one more experienced than a senior, fifth-year senior, I guess we could call her, Dora Antal, who missed last year, or the 2016 season, I guess I should say, because she was competing in the Olympics for the second time for her home team of Hungary. First of all, I want the folks to know, and I'd like to know, tell us a little bit about your hometown in Hungary. What's it like? How big is it? What do people do there? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually coming from a pretty small city from Hungary. We call it Eger. Mm-hmm. It's actually not far from the capital, from Budapest. It's just like 1.5 hours by car. So I basically grew up there. I played 15 years of water polo there. So, yeah, I born into the pool because I don't know if I could have any other options because I just live really, really close to the swimming pool. And I just, I remember I was 3 when I started to learn swimming. And then when I reached 5, I just, like, I was really bored, like, you know, swimming in a circle and just, like, I couldn't even, like, count my laps. So my mom always just, like, yelled how many laps left. And I just, everyone just, like, so mad at me because, like, come on, just, like, learn how to do these things. And so I decided I don't want to be a swimmer when I was 5. And actually my brother played water polo at that time. He is actually 3 years older than me. So I just basically joined to the men's team. So yeah, I just grew up with boys and I played water polo with boys first, and then I just became the first girl on the girl team. So it was fun.
Yeah, I can understand that swimming, you know, 40 or 50 laps. I see where that might not be appealing for everybody, but put a ball in my hand or a beach ball or something like that, it'd be a little bit more intriguing. Tell the folks, your position is called a driver. Well, what is a driver? What are the responsibilities? And I assume, based on the fact you've scored a lot of goals here at Cal, it has something to do with putting the ball in the net.
Yeah, so basically being a driver, you actually creating space for others, creating space for yourself, and it's basically you are asking for the ball most of the times and you are trying to put the ball into the net. So this is how it kind of works. But yes, usually just like kind of controlling like spacing and balancing the whole court and just swim fast and just shoot the ball, I guess.
But I would imagine also being the driver that based on your history here at Cal and certainly with your national team that you're kind of a marked person. People know where you are and so they give much more defensive attention to you. How have you adapted and adjusted to that?
Yeah, this is really hard because obviously by my fifth or fourth year of water polo here, everyone kind of knows me. Like most of the coaches knows my movements and like kind of everyone knows what I'm going to do with the ball, but I'm still trying to surprise the opponents. This is kind of where I find fun of playing water polo, just like trying out new stuff. But yeah, it's really challenging and it's really tiring. Like usually they want me to play like for my weaknesses, so they are trying to like they are just trying to take me into set, so I need to guard, so it's just like more tiring to me. But I have to learn those things too, so it's again it's just a challenge for me.
You talked about a challenge and being surprising and come up with different techniques. But in the 2016 Olympic Games in the bronze medal game or 2012?
2012.
The team that you were playing against thought they had the game won with 10, 11 seconds left and kind of just holding on to the ball. And so you went underwater, surprised everybody, popped up, got the ball and scored what ended up being the game tying goal.
Yeah, it was actually really surprising, especially for the crowd, because my parents were actually sitting on the stands, and it's just like it was unbelievable because they couldn't see it. Because literally my dad and my mom was just like, oh, my God, like, again, they just lost. They're going to get fourth place. She's going to be so sad. And, like, from, like, all of the sudden, like, oh, it's a tie game. Like, what happened? And so basically, I feel like only the girls saw that goal who were actually in the pool. So it was just like, I just came up from nowhere. I don't know why I decided I'm going to do that. I feel like it just like came kind of naturally. I didn't really think about it. Like, I just didn't know what's going to happen. So I stole the ball from the goalie and I just backhanded to the goal. So it was just like, it was just fun, I guess.
Fun for you, a little embarrassing for the goalie, I would think, because that I'm sure that didn't happen again to her. Then how did you matriculate to Cal? Because there are, obviously, it's a tremendous international community here at Cal and a good tradition in women's water polo. They've been among the top 3-4 teams the last decade or so. But how did that connection arise?
Actually, I got an offer from the previous coach, Rich Corso, after the 2012 Olympic Games. And actually, I was in a training camp, like right after the Olympic Games, because I was participating in the Junior Worlds after. So I got a phone call. Actually, it was a missed phone call, and it's actually a really interesting story. And I just called my dad, like, oh, my God, I just... Because my phone said that there is a missed call from Berkeley, California. I was like, oh, my God, like, what's happening here? So I called them back. I was super nervous. Like, after we put down the phone, I just started to cry and shaking because I thought that this is unbelievable because it was always my dream to come to the U.S., to study in a really good university and actually play water polo here because I feel like women's water polo is really good in the United States. I mean, obviously, they just won Olympic Games. So I just really wanted to come here, develop my skills, and just like actually experiencing another environment, which was or it's still going on, but I just really enjoy it.
And then one of your teammates is from your country as well. I mean, you know very well as Anna Illich, I think is how you pronounce her name. So to have somebody else from your country, how has that helped you?
Yeah, actually, at the beginning, it was really nice to talk with someone else who speaks my language, because I have to be honest, when we came here, we didn't really speak in English. So, yeah, at the beginning, it was really helpful. It was really helpful to talk with someone else, and we could actually, like, experiencing everything together, and we could, like, look around together. So it was really nice, but I feel like now it's just, like, more natural speaking in English, and, like, more natural making new friendships with, like, other not-Hungarians.
Well, you speak English very well, much better than I speak Hungarian. I will admit to that, no question. All right, you are on the precipice. You're on the verge of becoming the all-time leading goal scorer in Cal history. I think you're 20 away. So that's going to happen sometime this year. But tell us more about the team, because you've got 5 returning All-Americans. I mean, the 2 from Hungary, you've got 3 others. This is an experienced team, picked 2nd in the conference, the highest preseason prediction in, I think it's maybe 6 years. What are the expectations for this team this year?
Yeah, I agree with that. We have a lot of experience, and I feel like we have really high expectations from, like, ourselves, because we really want to prove that, like, yes, we always just, like, got 4th. I mean, the years when I played here, but we always expected something more. I feel like we always miss something, but I'm hoping for a year where everything is just going to come together and we can succeed together. And actually, I just don't want to deal with the fact that we rank 2nd, because that doesn't really mean anything. So I just want to focus, or the team just wants to focus on, like, on our job and, like, doing our things, and it's just like being a really good team and, like, just compete together.
All right, you start off the season in Hawaii. That's a nice place to start, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never been there, so I'm excited.
You will enjoy it. First of all, the weather will be nice. That's the big thing. It's beautiful, and you'll have a great time over there. And then you come back home the following week to host the Cal Cup against UC Davis. And you guys play, you know, if you go all the way to the national championship, this is like a 4.5-month season. It's pretty long. How have you trained? How has the team trained to get ready for that long grind?
Oh, we just finished our hell month, like everyone calls like that, which is like 2 weeks, like really hard practices. But now, since school started, we have like less practices and limited times in the pool. But yeah, it's going to be a long season, but I'm pretty sure we have to still work really hard, because it's just like, you know, we will have a lot of games, so we have to be like physically and mentally prepared.
All right, this is your final term at Cal. You got a big smile on your face, like, yeah, it's finally here. But then at the end of the term, you got to go out in the real world. What would you like to do?
Yeah, it's actually, I'm kind of sad, I'm kind of happy about it, but yeah, my plan is, it's not fixed yet, so anything can happen, but probably I'm just going to go back to Hungary, play water polo there, and just like, probably I want to take a year off from school and then do my master's there, or who knows what life's going to bring to me, so I'm open for everything.
And how long would you like to play water polo on a competitive basis, an international basis?
This is a really hard question. I haven't decided yet. It's basically going to depend on my physical abilities. You know, it's just like a lot of injuries, so I'm just kind of try to think about, like, I just want to go step by step. I don't really want to, like, think about the far future. So, yeah, I'm just, right now my primary goal is to win NCAA, so.
Let's keep the goal short and simple.
Yes.
All right, and I know you have another term and you got a whole season to go, but when you finally graduate and you do go back home, what are going to be the 1 or 2 memories that come to mind? when you think about your experience here at Cal?
Oh my God, this is a really hard question, but I feel like I'm pretty sure I'm never gonna forget my first day at Cal when I introduced myself, all of my teammates, and I could only just focus on like saying my name correctly. And then after like 20 or 25 players just came to me and introduced themselves to me, I was just like, I don't remember any of those names. And I was just like, oh my God, like what's happening here? So yeah, that was just fun again and like a whole new experience. And I feel like it's just, I'm really glad I found people here that's probably gonna like last forever as like a friendship, which is like really nice having friends at the other part of the world. So it just feels really good.
Well, you've had a tremendous career, and you can just tell you're going to be successful whatever you decide to do away from water polo. But have a great season, and again, stay healthy. That's always the key. Congratulations on the success so far, and continued good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right. Very great interview with Dora Antel as the Bears open up the women's water polo season this week in Hawaii. Then next week they'll be back home at Speaker Aquatic Center to face, in the first round, UC Davis as part of the Cal Classic. All right, that wraps it up for this week. And Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, thanks to Juwan Harris-Dyson and also Kai Felton from women's basketball. Of course, the women will be on the road this week against the Southern California schools, and the men at home against the two highest-ranked teams, the only two teams from the conference ranked in the top 25, Arizona and Arizona State. So until next week, I'm Todd McKim. Thank you very much for listening this week, and go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation